Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
A group of engaged citizens is trying to save a historic building. Let's go in depth with Susan Tender, Jackie Crone, Marilyn Hayes, and Russell Butch Hayes with the Friends of East Elementary, Pleasantville, Iowa. Susan, tell us a little bit about East Elementary.
Dr. Bob, East Elementary is 101 years old. It's a classic architecture school building with the renowned architect Frank Weatherall, and that is inscripted on the side of the building. And we value the building because we attended there, but we also value the building because of the potential to add housing to the community of Pleasantville.
All right, and you all went there, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Good memories?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. We've had so much fun sharing the memories of the school building at our meetings.
When I asked you the question, well, where was West Elementary? And you said there wasn't one, right?
Right. No. All of the other school buildings are all together. And that's more the northwest end of town. But they call it the North Elementary.
Okay. And what are you trying to do with it? You're trying to save it and so you're raising funds for it. And what do you want to do with it?
Our real goal is to try and find a developer that is willing to come in and take over the building. The city currently owns the building, obviously it's not making any money for the city. It's not on the tax rolls or anything of that nature. So we want to save the building, first of all, because of its architecture and its history. We want to turn it into something that can be viably maintained and make somebody some money, as well as still be an important part of the community for the future. And the only way that we can come up with that makes sense to where it's financially feasible is to turn it into something that, you know, is generates income, and housing seems to be the best way to do that. It's been done often in the state by several people in several different towns, especially in towns like Pleasantville, where there's school buildings that are no longer being utilized. And that's really our goal, is to turn it into something that's self-sustainable, long-term, that keeps the building on the tax rolls and brings back to the community like it used to.
Jackie, you've done a history of the building, right?
Yes, I have.
And so what did that involve?
Research, yearbooks. I had most of it already. I like the history of Pleasantville, the history of the schools, the churches. So I have all of that.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Susan Tender, Jackie Crone, Marilyn Hayes, and Russell Butch Hayes with the Friends of East Elementary, Pleasantville, Iowa. Well, the building has some beautiful architectural elements. I just love the fruit design on part of it and the lamps. Can you tell us about that?
Well, that's interesting. The fruit, how do I say this? There was a school being built in California somewhere at the same time. They got corn and wheat, and we got the fruit because they mixed it up. Oh. When the company sent it out. And in those days, you kept what you got. And we got the beautiful fruit.
Now that's funny.
Yeah.
And research, I mean, that was true. because Craig Metcalf, who was a member of our committee, and we lost Craig, he researched that in Des Moines Historical, and he found, and we also have pictures of the blueprint. We have copies of the original blueprint, and there was not fruit on that original. So that's a true story.
And it's got the beautiful, well, I don't know how to describe it, like Spanish clay tiles. Is that how I describe it?
Yes, and this Susan mentioned Frank Wetherill. He was an amazing architect for his time, and he put the California type roof on it, which was very unusual for Iowa.
Yeah, I was going to say I've seen a few in Des Moines, I think, but that's it.
Yeah.
And where was he from?
He was originally from Oskaloosa, and he did a lot in Oskaloosa also. There's a school there that they have redone into apartments also. And he also designed the Mahaska Courthouse.
All right. So very famous.
Yes.
What do you envision? How many apartments do you see?
We've had several people go through it. We've also had quite a I'll back up just a little bit. We've also had some help from some others in terms of the history. A fellow by the name of Dan Hunt has laid out some design work using the original drawings that we've got our hands on. So we have the original structure the way it looks, and then Dan has taken that and put his vision over the top of it. We think that there's very easily 12 to 14 potential apartments, depending on whether or not we go after federal and state tax credits and the historical help that's available there. And that, you know, they put restrictions on what you can and can't do to maintain the historical aspects of the building. The final number is kind of up in the air at this point, but we think it's in the neighborhood of 12 to 14 potential apartments. The other comment that I've got about the building itself is that Mr. Weatherwall was way ahead of his time in terms of the way the building was actually built internally, in terms of the heating and cooling and the way it worked and the use of the windows, and all of those things added to the uniqueness of it and makes it just points out some of the historical aspects that was unique at the time and ahead of the game compared to some of the other buildings that were being built. Another thing I need to include is the fellow Will Page. Will works for, well, he's his own business, but he has done an awful lot of research in the state and is a state historical fellow that wrote up some interesting history that would be utilized for the historical tax credits and all those kinds of things. Will is an expert on Mr. Wetherill, and he's the one that's pointed out all of the special aspects of the building that make it unique.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Susan Tender, Jackie Crone, Marilyn Hayes, and Russell Butch Hayes with the Friends of East Elementary, Pleasantville, Iowa. What do the city leaders think about the project?
Well, the city leaders know that something needs to happen. They acknowledge that we can't leave the building standing there as it is now for a long period of time. And they're working with us. Joe Merstick is the city administrator, and the city council. They're concerned about money, as we all are, but they also know that it's important to save the school and the park that they are developing on the south part of that block so that it would be a positive thing for the entire block. So those are the steps that we're using to work together to make that happen.
That's a great place for a park.
Used to be the playground for the school, and a lot of memories out there. That piece of the property came into being. The city needed it when they put the new road through town, and they chose to turn it into a park at that point in time without not having a real final plan developed for it. And again, back to Dan Hunt, he helped the city come up with an idea of how that might lay out, and we've got visionary plans for the way that park should look.
Okay, and so you've created a nonprofit. Tell us about that.
Well, I think you should talk to Butch because he's our treasurer.
Okay.
Yeah, we started a nonprofit when we essentially started the nonprofit when we looked at the schoolhouse. There's also another group here in town that is the Pleasantville Betterment Group, and I'm not sure I've got the title of those right, but they are involved with the city, or it's the park portion of it. They've donated some money and are helping to develop that piece of it. And they're very active in town here with the pig out, some of the other activities that happen in Pleasantville. So the two things together, along with the city, are basically the three groups that are trying to make all of this happen.
When some things like this, people just keep thinking about the costs, but sometimes we need to think about them as investments instead of costs. It seems like if you invest in this, there's housing that's needed, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Housing is needed, as far as I know, in every community around here. I mean, so if that would work, and if it would financially work for the developer, that would be very nice in terms of, well, increasing the population density, good for downtown businesses.
All of those things we think are a part of the equation, the long-term health of the downtown area of Pleasantville, the additional housing is all positive. The developers that we've talked with and the other people that have knowledge of this kind of thing indicate that the building is the right kind of building, that the town obviously needs additional housing. Housing is extremely hard to come by in Pleasantville currently. So there's a lot of positive things that support keeping the building into the town.
And that investment would be in the millions of dollars, I presume.
Don't quote me, but I think we're probably looking at $3 to $4 million to really totally rehabilitate the building and preserve the historical aspects and turn it into apartments.
And so, is there an opportunity for people to come and look at it and maybe make contributions to help this thing happen?
Dr. Bob, we have an event planned on September the 24th, this fall, to make an awareness to the community of both the building as a fundraiser and the playground as a fundraiser, a joint effort between the city and our group, the Friends of the Pleasantville East Elementary School. And we have events planned for that day, of which to bring awareness of what we are doing and then what could happen, what the next step, because many people say to you, how's the school going? So that will be a day that we can share information with the community.
And be able to share a little bit of the history, the architectural design elements, be able to talk about it.
Correct. We hope to be able to have some folks talking about the building itself, some of the history of it, and try and do some other things kind of reminiscent of the earlier days of the school when, before our time even, what took place there.
You're going to have some entertainment, I see.
Yeah, C.W. Smith from Des Moines is going to play period music from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, 50s, and on. And he attended school there a couple of years, but his mother, his grandparents, and an awful lot of his family members all attended school there at some point.
Well, is there anything I didn't know enough to ask? Anything we've forgotten? Anything you'd like to add?
Oh, there'll be food that day, Dr. Bob.
Okay. Always a plus.
Yeah, that's right. We want people to enjoy themselves and at the same time have refreshments also.
We hope to have some interviews that day of some of the older residents that have been around, and so that they have an opportunity to share some of their unique history of their time in that building.
Also, one person we might be able to have come is Mrs. Scott was our second grade teacher, and she's living in Des Moines. So we're hoping that she can make the trip down here.
Yes, she's the oldest living school teacher that we know of, and we're pretty sure we're right. She grew up, well, she didn't grow up in Beach, but her husband was a farmer in Beach, which is a small community right outside of town.
Are you sure you want her here? She's probably got some stories to tell about you.
She was a very good teacher. I remember her well.
Thanks to Susan Tender, Jackie Crone, Marilyn Hayes, and Butch Hayes for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.